the partial government shutdown, 14 days old now. Thursday looming is the deadline for the federal government to raise its debt limit or start defaulting. Recent days, there seems to be some momentum building towards a short-term solution. Why now? Slate writer Will Salatin says it has a lot to do with the record low polling numbers for the GOP, as well as the shaky markets. The pain that Congress might feel for engaging in the shutdown doesn't always have an immediate impact. The vote on the shutdown is 3 weeks removed from this debt ceiling deadline. And congressional elections won't happen for another year.
But fortunately, we have these intervening factors such as the markets, which beginning earlier in October start to say, hey, we don't like that you might be defaulting on your debt coming up in a few days, so we're going to start tanking on you. And we have polls that say, hey, the public says, we don't like the way you're behaving, so we're going to throw you out in a year. And the politicians can look at those polls and they can look at those markets and say, gee, this isn't going so well for us. Maybe we ought to get our act together and cut a deal.
What solution do you see the markets wanting to emerge? Do they want this short-term? Because what we see emerging is very short-term, sort of kick the can down the road 6 weeks.
Yeah, the markets are fairly minimal in their expectations. They're not going to tell you, you, Mr. Congressman, that you have to extend the debt ceiling for a year, although they would be happier if you did, because markets like stability. You know, there's all this talk about markets loving free enterprise and do whatever you want, but what markets really like is knowing what the government will do, knowing that they can count on big players to pay their bills. Generally, in politics, as in most things, the most cynical theory tends to pan out. And the most cynical theory here is the markets are only requiring that the U.S. pay its bills and that it not default. And that only requires that Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell and the other Senate leaders and House leaders agree to kick the can down the road long enough that the market can take a breath. And so I think that's all we should expect from Congress.
Now, you wrote just the other day about the federal shutdown and President Obama challenging the House Speaker to call for an up-and-down vote because the president is doing something a little different. As you mentioned, you write, the president is actually saying, get this vote, and now we're going to defeat the members of your party who are not voting the way they should. I mean, the president's making this very political statement.
Well, I think what the president really wants to do here is remove the political protection that Speaker Boehner has put over his members by refusing to call a vote. Remember, until there is an actual vote on the floor of the House on what they call a clean continuing resolution, that is just to extend the funding of the government, or a clean debt ceiling to extend our payment, our ability to pay our debts, until there's an actual vote, you don't know how your congressman what his or her position is on the issues, on that issue, unless they've said something to the press. They've made it, and most of these folks are being very cagey in what they're saying. So I think what Obama is trying to do is to impose some accountability, because he knows, given the polls, that if your representative votes no, votes not to accept that clean continuing resolution or clean debt ceiling, and puts the country in danger of default, that the representative will be afraid to do that, and that will inspire them to do the right thing.
What did you make of the Republicans over the weekend saying things like, here's John McCain, what goes around comes around. John McCain said if they try to humiliate Republicans, things change in American politics. Tom Cole said you can't just demand pure capitulation. Negotiations don't work that way. The Republicans are coming up with another line of response. Is it effective?
Well, it's what they have to say. It's what you say when you're losing, right? When you're you can't say, sorry, we have the leverage. You either accept our deal or you're done. Instead, you say things like, well, on some other occasion, when we have more political power, you'll wish you'd been nicer to us, you know. Or they say things like, you have to talk to us. The public doesn't like it when we're not talking to each other. You know, that might be effective. It's probably more effective than nothing, but it's not nearly as effective as President Obama being able to just fold his hands, smile, and watch the Republicans squirm, because he knows that they have to cut a deal or they're going to get hurt worse than he is.
So you look at the polls, you look at the markets, you think the Republicans are losing. Are the Democrats winning?
Nobody's particularly winning, but because the election next year will be a zero-sum game, if the Democrats get hurt not as badly as the Republicans, on net, the Democrats will gain. The only reason why that wouldn't happen is if somebody actually managed for the first time in recent memory to construct a third alternative. And of course, there is interest now in a third political party or in some movement of independence. But I've been through that before. I've heard that song, and I'll believe it when I see it.